Welcome to episode 7 of the YSF podcast. Ahead of International Women's Day 2020, we're taking a look at a project that has got more women involved in a traditionally male-dominated sport. I'll be chatting to two of the people who have made it happen and two people who have been involved in the success of the project.
And as soon as I go home from coaching, I just feel like fulfilled. It's really strange. Even my kids can see how happy I am now.
I'm joined by two people who've been involved in the project pretty much from day one. Firstly, welcome to Deborah Cummins, Children and Young People Lead at Yorkshire Sport Foundation. Secondly, and the moment that gives away what the sport we're talking about is Ashley Hurrell, Club Support Officer at England Boxing. And the project we're talking about is called Punch Like a Girl. Punch Like a Girl is a project between YSF and England Boxing to get more female boxing coaches in South Yorkshire and West Yorkshire. But that's not what the initial outcome of the project was meant to be, was it, Ashley?
No, so I originally met with Yorkshire Sport because as I was going and meeting more clubs and speaking to more coaches, a lot of similar issues were coming up in the clubs, and a lot of it was around governance and finance and the real sort of basic issues. They were all doing really great community work, but they needed support with those grassroots issues. So I came to Yorkshire Sport to set up a club development group where each club would come and attend the development group, get some support with those issues, and then run a satellite club off the back of it. And it was through working with those clubs a bit more that we sort of found out that there was a gap in the female coaching.
From a Yorkshire Sport Foundation perspective, Debs, what was it about where those clubs were that fitted in with the YSF priorities?
So the initial research kind of showed that I think 75% of the clubs that Ashley was working with across South and West Yorkshire were in some of our more focused communities, so the low socioeconomic groups, which was quite interesting for us kind of moving into that area of the world, really.
And Ashley mentioned that despite there's a gap between sort of a lack of provision for females, either in terms of number of coaches or who wanted to get involved, but perhaps were put off by the lack of female coaches.
Yeah.
What are the kind of numbers around that when you look at boxing, perhaps nationally or more locally?
So participation wise, female participation is over 20% now nationally, and that's growing all the time. But that figure's not being matched by the growth in female coaches. So yeah, that number is still really low, and we think to keep pushing that growth in female participation, we need more female coaches in the clubs. So it was just to try and sort of start to level that growth between coaches and boxers.
And was some of the research and insight you were doing suggesting that, I presume from the, you know, what we're going to talk about for the last 12 months, but was it suggesting that one of the reasons was a lack of female coaches, and where did that kind of rank in the reasons why perhaps more women weren't getting into boxing?
Yeah, so as you can imagine, most boxing clubs are quite male-dominated. And for those females who maybe hadn't taken part before, wanted to take part on a recreational basis, we were finding that, yeah, they were kind of feeling maybe a little bit intimidated coming into a club where everyone was male. And we found that those clubs that had a female coach already in place, their female participation was a lot higher, especially for those women that wanted to come in and take part on a recreational basis. So yeah, we just thought we'd try and replicate that in as many clubs as possible then.
So you've identified the gap, you know what you want to do. Yeah. What's the first step then? It's all well and good to say, well, we need some more coaches because it'll get more into boxing. What did you do first?
Well, I spoke to Debs about it and then you kind of...
I think we looked at what would get more women involved. And, you know, when we spoke to a few of the ladies that came on the course and things, they were put off by doing the level one and the fear of like being quite male dominated. Mm-hmm. So we kind of broached just doing a female only course, which doesn't feel really radical, but probably was the first time England Boxing have done something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it was the first one ever, yeah.
And we were really fortunate as well that we managed to get female tutors as well, which I think was really beneficial.
Yeah, and again, Amanda, who ran the course, is our only female tutor, really, that does regular coaching courses. So, yeah, it was great to have her on board, definitely.
And I think, to be fair, a lot of the head coaches, who are predominantly male as well, were kind of giving us that feedback as well, saying, you know, they know that they've got women identified in their club that would love to do this, but were so put off by the traditional course. Mm-hmm. That, you know, if this female-only approach would really work for them.
So how many female coaches might you get on your average level one coaching course? Is it few and far between? Is there...
Yeah, one or two, if any. Yeah, it's you really are sort of in the minority on a normal coaching course. And obviously, for a lot of coaches, that's not an issue. But For these coaches in particular, a lot of them were sort of looking to do the more recreational classes, so hadn't necessarily come from boxing backgrounds, didn't necessarily have a lot of boxing specific knowledge. Still great coaches, but yeah, I think sometimes they felt like maybe they wouldn't be taken seriously or accepted on a traditional level one course. And obviously the level one is designed that you could take it with no boxing experience. So yeah, we were just trying to sort of make it as open and accepting as possible for them, weren't we?
Yeah, and Amanda was great as well, because I think Amanda was the coach educator
who
was tutoring the course.
Mm-hmm.
But she was great because she really understood where they were going from. So, you know, she's, you know, well known in boxing.
Yeah.
She's done all her qualifications and kind of, I guess, done it the really traditional way, so can still remember some of those feelings and, you know, has had conversations with loads of female boxers during her time. So the fact that she could really understand that group and what they were about, I think, really alleviated fears in those.
Yeah.
Because probably the first hour of the course, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, because a lot of the women were understandably quite nervous and hadn't really put themselves forward for anything like that before. But yeah, Amanda was brilliant because she really adapted her delivery style to how she'd normally run a course, I'm sure. Yeah, just to make them feel a bit more at ease. And the difference between them at the beginning and the end was amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So how, you mentioned then, it might be a question more for Amanda, but from what you know and what you spoke to, how did she tailor it? How, you know, there'll be certain things that you have to do to get your level one and certain things you have to go through it, but how did she tailor it? And in terms of the delivery and perhaps when you hosted it and where you hosted it, how important was that to getting these women involved?
Yeah, I think just purely the fact that everyone in there was in the same boat, really. So it was obviously an all-female course. A lot of them were from similar size clubs and things like that. Amanda was really good at, there were a couple of participants that maybe had a little bit more experience, a little bit more confidence. So she knew to sort of draw on them to maybe do the demonstrations early on while the others got their confidence up. And yeah, the whole course was sort of delivered in, it was just like isolated. It was held at the Hunsett Club in Leeds, but they had sort of their own classroom and their own little room to do the practical stuff in. So it was quite like, it was quite a relaxed environment for them, wasn't it? And Amanda just was brilliant at just making them feel confident, I guess.
Yeah. So it was March of 2019, 17 women attended. And how did you come to pick those women? You mentioned they were perhaps involved in recreational classes or things involved with the clubs. Was it just an open advert, or how did you kind of target people, for want of a better phrase, to get on this course?
So we initially prioritised from that map of the target communities that you guys had. We originally gave those clubs priority just so that it was meeting both targets for the organisations. And then we basically asked that the head coach nominated somebody to come onto the course, because what we've sort of realised through the process is it's really important to have the support and the backing of the club to really help a new female volunteer to sort of thrive in that environment. So yeah, rather than sending it out just to everybody, we contacted the head coaches and asked them to nominate somebody, so we knew that the support was there from the club as well. And then we had like an amazing response, didn't we?
Yeah.
So we've got a bit of a waiting list if we do another course and stuff.
Like I said, it's not traditionally male dominated. Mm-hmm. Were there any clubs that needed a bit more persuasion to put someone forward? Or was there, you said you've obviously oversubscribed and there's demand for it. So, you know, the stereotypical view might have been, well, the reason there's no female boxing coaches is because we don't need women to come and deliver. This is a man's world, to use a very dated sort of phrase. But were there any clubs like that you had to perhaps put a bit more work with to persuade them that this was a good thing to do, or was it very open to it?
Yeah, there wasn't in this case, because the people that came back to us were sort of really on board with the idea, thought it was brilliant, already had female coaches in mind that they wanted to do this course. There definitely will be clubs out there that if we wanted to get them involved, sort of the harder to reach ones, they would take some persuading still, definitely. There is that issue. But because we had an overwhelming response of people wanting to get on board, we haven't actually come across that issue yet, but I'm sure as it expands, we will do.
And I think quite a lot of these clubs were on that first kind of club development project with us around the governance and the finance. So as we'd been having these conversations, they all recognised themselves, the gap with women and girls, and that is something they wanted to do as a club, but it wasn't necessarily something that they either wanted to deliver themselves because they may be quite elite coaches or just time capacity. You know, these coaches, they run the whole club, so it's not just delivering the sessions, it's all of it. So I think just kind of linking those two bits together and helping them kind of plug that gap was really important. So actually they were biting our hands off. I think we had maybe like 30 applications initially to try and get to a, which should have been a course of, I think, 16, which we then put up to 24. And then, you know, naturally people can't do the weekend that it's planned for and things like that. But I think 17 was a nice number.
Yeah, it was about right, I think, especially for the size of the venue we used.
Because it just allowed Amanda and to give that maybe a little bit of extra support, but give the ladies on the course that time to connect with each other as well, which I think was really important.
Yeah.
Well, what has been the feedback? We talk about how Amanda tailed it and all of this, and we'll get on to where we're at now, 12 months down the line. But what was the feedback, either formally or more sort of anecdotally, about how that was received by the women that went on the course?
Yeah, so just overwhelmingly positive again from the females on the course. They set up like a little WhatsApp group during the first weekend, and a year later, I mean, I'm in the group, but I just let them get on with it. But yeah, they still talk on it most days. If anyone needs support with anything, if they're delivering a session and having an issue or something's gone really well, or one of them's attending an event, they'll put it on the group and then they all sort of chip in with sort of advice, or they'll then attend the event because they know someone else is going to be there. And they've just really created like a little community amongst themselves from the course.
It's like a bit of an informal support network. And I guess when you set out at the start of a project, you'll have certain things, numbers and things you want to see. But something like that, Debs, you don't put WhatsApp groups we're going to measure.
It was never a measure or an outcome that we thought might happen, but actually has been probably some of the best learning. So Amanda was in that group as well, wasn't she? So for the first few months, she was able to answer questions. So I think there was a lot about DBS checks and things like that. But yeah, that's one of those amazing outcomes that, you know, when you talk about the success of a project and how do you know it's working? Well, Ashley can tell you when she puts her work phone on a Monday morning and there's 3,000 messages.
Yeah.
And something's working.
Yeah, and they all ended up going to the same first aid training on the same safeguarding course because they sort of organised it amongst themselves. And again, that might be something that for a new coach, they wouldn't even know where to start organising those sorts of things. And Amanda actually organised them their own first aid course. So yeah, it just made the whole process loads easier for them, I think. And then since then, a couple of them have asked on the group about progressing to their level two. Again, then five or six of them are sort of really interested in that idea. If they thought they were the only one, they probably wouldn't, again, be confident enough to suggest that. But because they know that five or six of the other women want to do it, they're sort of starting to ask those questions now as well.
So aside from the amount of notifications you have daily or weekly on your phone, as we said, 12 months on, how do you evaluate and sort of get to the point now where we're going, yes, this is a success? What are the measures of success tell you that this has worked?
So purely just from a numbers point of view, we've sort of gone back to those coaches that basically each coach had to go back into their club and set up a female-only session for new participants. And in the last year, there's been over 200 new participants purely from these coaches setting up those sessions in their clubs. So yeah, purely from a numbers point of view, it's been really successful. And then what else? We've looked at sort of confidence levels as well in the coaches, haven't we? And just try to keep up to date with them, see how many times they're delivering, whether that's sort of started really well and then sort of tapered off a bit, which for some of the coaches it has done, and we're working to get them back to delivering on a regular basis and things like that. A couple of them are coaching at a really high competitive level now, which is obviously really good. And then a few of them deliver a few times a week in their club, their female-only session still.
And Deb's from a YSF perspective, something perhaps could have asked towards the start, but obviously this all costs. And I remember when the course happened, there was just a load of kit arrived with Punch Like a Girl logos on it to sort of give all the women that are on the course, which obviously again makes them feel part of it and creates that community, which we've touched on. But where does this fit in terms of funding? Like I said, your children, young people, Lee, but we're talking about women and girls of all ages here. So do you have to be a bit creative or adaptable to make this happen?
Not really. So we did fund it through Sport England Satellite Club Programme, which is aimed at 14 to 19 year olds. So that kind of was the initial outcome that, you know, you come on this course, which is going to be funded through satellite clubs, and then you have to go back and deliver a female focused session targeting kind of that age group, mm-hmm. which they have all done. I'm not saying that they've got all those 200 people are 14 to 19. You know, they've done other activities as well because they're delivering more than once, which was fine. But from like a cost point of view, I think it worked out at probably maybe £700 per club by the time we'd worked out their coaching qualification cost, and we gave them all a kit bag as well, because that was, I think, quite important that, you know, not being stereotypical, pink was the only colour we could get that wasn't kind of the black, the blue, yeah. or the red. But we got them some gloves, some mitts, some skipping ropes, just something so that when they went back into the club, they had something that was theirs and really linked and owned that session.
Mm-hmm. And we involved those who were taking part, didn't we, as Intercol, in what that looked like and what yeah. the Punch Like a Girl kind of brand
green.
Looked like, which is green, which
yeah, is green.
Just happens to be
just
one of our
colours. Yeah, it is. We just couldn't get any boxing gloves yeah. at that point in green. But yeah, they were... They loved it. They loved being part of that brand. I think we took them the hoodies, didn't we, on mm-hmm. the second weekend, and it was Mother's Day.
Yeah.
It was the Mother's Day weekend. And, yep, they I think we're all on within, like, 30 seconds
yeah.
of us
and
arriving.
Still, at events now, you still see them sort of wearing their hoodie, and it's almost like a team kit for them, I guess. But, yeah, the equipment was a real bonus because, again, it's really simple, but one of the barriers to new female participants joining a boxing club is that some of the equipment can be really gross. So just the fact that you can give them a new pair of gloves to use, it's really that simple. So yeah, I think that was a real nice touch, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I guess it's not so much the, when I talk about funding, it wasn't necessarily the cost, but I guess the learning is to not, just to perhaps see how you can be creative with funding opportunities. Like I say, it started off as just a mapping exercise to see where clubs are and what their provision is, and it's led to this. And similarly, satellite clubs, if you kept satellite clubs in its box, this yeah. probably wouldn't have happened either. I'm sure there's other active partnerships around the country doing creative things, but I guess the general message is...
And I think for us, you know, we're a very large active partnership that to work on a more, I kind of guess, project-level approach with it, so rather than funding 17 individual clubs to do it centralised, brings the cost down, kind of game of that uniformed project,
yeah.
And just actually probably came out with better outcomes,
yeah,
rather than just going off and funding one mm-hmm. club to do a little female only session. And we probably would never have got those women on the course if right. we'd have done that kind of individual
definitely
approach.
Not. I think from speaking to them, almost all of them said that they would never have done a level one, didn't they? I think yeah. only a couple of them probably would have had the confidence but didn't have the funding. And the rest of them said, like, point blank, they wouldn't have done a level one had it not been for that course, which is obviously...
And it does link really well with satellite clubs. So loads mm. of the research that we get back that we do with young people, especially with the girls around what activities do you want to do, it's rugby, it's boxing, it's self-defence. You know, so we were kind of also responding to the needs of what young people were saying to us in the surveys that we've mm-hmm. done across colleges and across that age group. So again, it just allowed us to kind of connect all those dots together to kind of provide the opportunity that was missing, really.
Not as setting you up here to sing our praises specifically, but the role of active partnerships, I guess, in supporting, you know, we spoke of that you're the club support officer, but you cover quite a big patch.
Yeah.
So to try and have done this on your own might have been, mm-hmm. you know, tricky. So how valuable is that support to NGBs? And what would you say to other people, perhaps in other NGBs, in other sports, what would you say to them from your perspective of how this has worked?
Yeah, I think 100% go and speak to your active partnership. I know the relationship between active partnerships and NGBs has sort of changed over the last few years, but there are still so many ways that you can work together. And definitely from England Boxing's point of view, like, we don't really have any delivery funding. So, and again, like you said, just in Yorkshire alone, I've got over 120 clubs and it's just me. So something that can bring almost 20 clubs together and sort of solve an issue that they all had all in one go, yeah, was invaluable for me, really. Chatting to them, seeing what their targets are, seeing what your targets are and trying to work together. And from this as well, obviously, Yorkshire Sport Foundation being the first active partnership to fund something like this, but we're rolling the project out nationally with some Sport England funding that we had, but I think most of the other regions have sort of teamed up with an active partnership now to work on this project on the back of this pilot.
Before we find out a bit more about what's next for the Punch Like a Girl project, it seems like a good opportunity to go and hear from two of the people who were involved in that very first course back in March 2019. And to do that, I made the short journey from our offices here in Morley to the Hunslet Club in South Leeds. Welcome to the Hunslet Club in South Leeds. We're here to talk about the Punch Like a Girl project with Dennis Robbins, who is CEO of the Hunslet Club, and Kelly Chepulis, who was on the very first course 12 months ago. Before we come to the very first course, Kelly, the first question is, how did you get involved in boxing in the first place? Or what was your involvement in boxing prior to a year ago?
Well, I was working in a care home and I was trying to make it as a personal trainer and trying to sell food to people. And one of the boxers' mums who works in here, and she lives in my mum's street, asked me if I would like to come down to be a female coach. So I agreed to it. And then I just didn't realise what it'd bring. And it's been fantastic. So
agreed to it.
I knew nothing about boxing.
So you hadn't been a boxer either, kind of box size classes or stuff? Or was that kind of like part of your, maybe your personal training stuff that you did? Or
I'm a personal trainer, but I'm more like into the gym, weightlifting and stuff. So I've been a ring girl once and I thought that was probably as far as I'd get in boxing, but I just didn't expect this.
So when she asked you, was it a yes, of course, straight away? Or were you kind of like, well, I've not done any boxing before?
Yes, I rung my mum. I said, what do you think? I said, I can't believe it, because I've loved boxing, but never watched it. I just like the training side of it.
So like I said, 12 months ago now, they had the level one coaching qualification here. It was you and I think 16 others came down. First of all, what were you expecting when you came in to start with?
I didn't really expect to be able to pass the course. I didn't really know what to expect. I thought everybody would have been a boxer or already a coach and just refreshing, or I don't really know what I expected.
You went into it with an open mind then, I guess, then. But was that the similar thing then, you say, for the background of the other women that were involved? They weren't all either boxers or coaches? Were there a lot of people in a similar position to you?
Yeah, like there's a few of the ladies, the partners had like a boxing gym, so they wanted to get into it as well to support the partners. And there was like a few people that was at clubs and didn't have much experience and just really wanted to help kids, help women get out there. Do you know, there was only about three or four that was already involved, and then everyone else, I'd say, was just like me.
It seems like quite a simple idea that if you want more female coaches, then one way to get them into it is to do a female-only coaching course with a female tutor as well. Did that something that, if it hadn't been there, and I appreciate someone came to you and said, you want to get involved, would it be something you'd have considered before?
I would have considered, as I'm quite a tomboy, but it is a man's world. So you'd have probably just been sat there and not been able to say much, maybe. But with it being all women, it was nice that we could all get us point across.
And Dennis, we spoke before we started chatting that, you know, and boxing is traditionally a male-dominated sport. Have you found that there's been other perhaps women and girls that have come through the club who've perhaps been interested in coaching but perhaps been put off by the fact that they might be the only female on the course and might feel a bit, you know, it's a very welcoming club here, but perhaps when they go on a coaching course somewhere else, they might feel that they're the odd one out, for want of a better phrase.
Yeah, I'm pretty certain that that must put some females off, or probably the majority off, because historically it is a male-dominated sport. I think that's breaking now, but yeah, the past is the past, and it is hard for women to break into it. Even with Kelly going on this all-female one, you know, as the coach, and it's still very much a man's world in that respect. But yeah, 100%, I think female-only courses, for the time being, are the way forward.
And how has it changed what things that you've done as a club, having Kelly and having that female coach in place to go and do things?
Yeah, it's changed quite a lot, because we had quite a large group of girls that were training at the club, and we took them away to an all-girls box cup in Ireland a couple of times. And mums and dads came along as well. But it's very good to have a female there. You know, one is a chaperone, you know, and I think initially that's what you're thinking, as a chaperone. But then great that, you know, Kelly's got this technical knowledge now that she can pass on to the girls, as well as the chaperoning as well.
So going back to the course, you didn't know what to expect. You got there. How was it? Well, you know, it was over a couple of weekends, wasn't it, that you did things? So how was that, and how was Amanda as a tutor for you?
It was fantastic. Like, everybody really got on. Amanda was great. I couldn't ask for a better woman to have done the course. She went through everything thoroughly. I really felt like I actually knew a bit about boxing when I'd done the course, which I wasn't expecting to be able to pick up after 2 weekends, but I actually came out of there. I knew how to stand, I knew how to demonstrate, I knew how to do. It made me feel really confident, actually.
One thing having the qualification and saying you're qualified boxing coach, but then I guess you're like, well, we want to go and coach. I want to go and put it into practice. So what have you done since then, since you've become a qualified coach?
I've been really lucky, as like the Hunslet Club offers quite a lot of opportunities for people. So I'm now actually working in schools, teaching boxing. I also teach multi-skills. So everything's just, I don't know, it's just been a whirlwind. It's really overwhelming, but it's just been great. And I don't think many people on the course will have got the opportunities that I have. So, but I'm just really thankful for what I have got. And I really enjoy like being with the kids. I feel like I know a lot now. With the younger ones, I was quite confident at first, but then with the older ones, I would never say anything. And now I just get stuck in and just say, come on, do what you need to do, because I know what I'm talking about now.
It might sound like quite a big question, but how is your, you say that you're going out into schools now and delivering coaching sessions, not only boxing but multi-sport. You said you know, personal training was something you'd wanted to go into. How much has your life changed, I guess, in the last 12 months on the back of this?
Actually, everything has changed. I worked in care and I worked weekends. And now, because I do this, I work Monday to Friday. I've got my kids at weekends now. They come down to the club. They're both girls as well. So I've got one of them trying to do boxing. It's just she's not as confident. But everything's changed, like, for my whole family. It's just great.
And the girls and the women that come and that you now coach, are you seeing, is a greater interest, do you think, in boxing because you're here or because there's a female coach that can lead those sessions? And how are you noticing those girls progress?
I've noticed that the girls actually come up to you and tell you personal things, just so, because if there's a man there, they're not going to tell them the personal things. So like the weight, they might say, has this fluctuated my weight because of this, like, which they wouldn't ask a man. So I think it's really good for the girls to be able to come up to someone and have someone to ask.
Dennis, again, we spoke before, you said to me you've got over 1,000 members and 98 sessions a week that you say you put on. So, you know, you want, this is very much a club that's not only the heart of the community, is a massive part of it. When you hear things like that from Kelly, that it's giving girls that confidence, not only just come and be active, but to feel like they can talk to someone, how proud does that make you of both Kelly and what you as a club are doing?
Yeah, I'm very proud. I'm proud of the club, obviously, because, you know, that's what we're about. It's about just open access, youth provision, you know, and you're right, we do 98 activities a week to 1,600 members. We're not just a boxing club. We're far more than that. You know, we've got 18 football teams, 14 rugby teams, big dance section as well. And this club is geared for volunteers. We need volunteers, you know, right across the board, not just in boxing, but in everything. And to get someone like Kelly, who was coming committed to it 100%, and then for the girls who we are coaching, to see them benefit from that, you know, is fantastic. It's a win-win-win for everybody.
We mentioned again that it's going to go national, this sort of program of female only courses, on the success of what happened here 12 months ago. It's a very open and inclusive club here. We've said before, boxing is a male dominated sport. Where can you see the barriers coming from other clubs? And not every club is going to be as open to this as perhaps you are and the people that work here and volunteer are. What mindset shift do you think there needs to be in clubs like this and boxing clubs generally to make people like Kelly more of the norm and not an exception?
Yeah, I think there's some clubs still out there that, you know, forever they've coached boys, and there might be only just boxing clubs, and they might see that as a male sport, and they might not be able to think past and maybe cope with admitting girls into the club. And I think there's still quite a few clubs that don't have any girls on the list. I can only say to everybody, you know, there is a massive benefit coaching boys and girls, and getting females involved, whether it's just a boys, you know, there's only boys in your gym. I'm pretty certain if all our girls left tomorrow, Kelly would still be coaching, because she's now a boxing coach. And she adds value, you know, she does a lot for the club, and we're better for it. So I'd say to any club, you know, just embrace it. It's the girls' boxing is moving forward, and it's moving forward at a pace. You know, girls are out there and they're actually doing really well at the national level and most certainly international level. So it's a winner.
We spoke to you as a coach and as a just somebody wanting to progress in their career, but you also mentioned that you've got a couple of daughters as well. If you put that parent hat on, would you have allowed or considered them going to mixed boxing classes? Or what if they'd come to you and said, I want to go and do boxing? What would your sort of reaction have been?
I would want it to be mixed for confidence reasons. If you always stay in your comfort zone, no one's ever going to grow, like progress anything. I've always said to my girls, it's better to be around both. I try to tend to push my daughters away from just being with all girls because it gets quite nasty, whereas boys, it's more playful, they're nice to each other. Do you know, I do agree with mixed totally.
I go back to your coaching things again that you've done over the last 12 months. Have you got a highlight where it might be perhaps a tournament you've attended or a moment in the gym where someone's, like you say, come and confided in you about something? Do you have multiple highlights of the last 12 months when you look back on it?
It's when I go home and I just think, wow, is this my life? It still doesn't feel real. I just think, wow. It's still overwhelming every day. And as soon as I go home from coaching, I just feel like fulfilled. It's really strange. Even my kids can see how happy I am now. So it's just really nice, yeah.
No, that's fantastic. It's a really brilliant answer. Just, you know.
Everyone really goes home from work and thinks, oh, I'm really glad I did that. They just think, oh, I just want to get home, but not me. I'm still, like, buzzing when I get home. I have to, like, wind down.
Was that, you know, you've got a job in care is quite a challenging one, I imagine, but at times rewarding, but also very mentally and physically draining. So, you know, not wanting to put down the care sector, but in comparison, how does that job compare to this one?
It's total and different ends of the scale. Obviously, kids, old people, they're both vulnerable. So it's nice to work with both, but I don't know. I just think because I've got kids and I love fitness and I just think kids should be active, not with all the iPads and phones and everything they've got now. I just want kids to be active and it's just great to be a part of it.
So, Kay, 12 months ago, you wouldn't have imagined that you'd be stood here talking to me about being a level one boxing coach. What do you want to achieve in the next 12 months?
So, at the end of March, that will be the year mark, so I can go for my level two. We do have a boxing support group that, when we did the course, one of the ladies set it up so that we can all always keep in touch. And obviously, being females and stuff, we wanted to keep in touch with each other in case we ever had any female problems, and it's been fantastic. We've all caught up with each other throughout the year. Everyone's doing well and we are trying to get it so we can all do the level two together.
Yeah, when I spoke to Ashley, she said that kind of might be things that your enthusiasm for some, not necessarily you, but might kind of fade a bit. But when you've got people with those kind of reminders or, oh, I'm going to this, do you want to come as well? I suppose that just builds its own little community, I guess, even if it's just through WhatsApp initially.
I was kind of one of the loudest people on the course, so it's always my name that pops up in that group and I always try and get everyone talking again. It does work sometimes it doesn't. But yeah, I think we're all wanting to do the level two together, so that would be good. There's also a boxing in mind to help people like with the mental health and stuff, and that's at the EIS, and that I'm going to try and attend as well with some of the other ladies, so that would be a good opportunity.
How important do you think that is, sport or boxing in particular, for, you know, you've spoken about how girls have come to you and asked you questions that they might not have done, but having that extra more specific kind of mental health awareness and training, how good will that be for you as a coach, do you think?
I think it'd be good in class, because even if maybe they don't speak to you, you could pick up the signs, do you know, and like maybe you could be pushing them too hard one time and then they get upset and they could walk out, when really, if you'd have known a bit more about why they were upset, then you'd have been able to do something about it and maybe just kept them in the class, because then they're definitely going to get noticed if they walk out, whereas you could have helped that situation and just made it feel all normal for them.
Dennis, but where do you, as someone who's CEO of a club like this, think boxing in this case needs to get to, where it is now perhaps and where it should be aiming to get to?
I think from a national level, I think they've got it absolutely right. You know, you look at the teams that are going out to the Europeans and the Worlds, you know, the mixed teams, and it's equal as it can be. And I think in terms of the opportunities for young girls that have got the ability to go on to the national stage. They certainly get the same amount of coaching from England Boxing. So that's in there. I think it's probably the bit that we need to get right is more down at the club level. You know, it's the bit that I said earlier where I think we've all got to accept that going forward, girls and boxing, you know, it's going to be the norm. And we've got to provide, and we've got to provide the facilities, we've got to provide the coaches, male and female, for them just to go on and get into that England setup and thrive.
What would you say to any women that might be watching or listening to this and thinking, I'd quite like to do that, but I'm not sure because, you know, I've not done boxing before. I've maybe seen a Nicola Adams in the Olympics, and that's the sort of extent of my female boxing knowledge. What would you say to anyone undecided about going on one of these courses, either in Yorkshire, West Yorkshire, Leeds, or nationally? What would your advice be to them?
I'd just say, go do it. And just never, obviously you're not going to have the confidence. I've still not got the confidence now, but it's growing and it's made me like who I am. I don't know, it's the confidence part of it. You're not going to be confident at first. You're going to feel silly. You're not going to know much, but just go do it because it will actually change your life.
And similarly, and you probably answered this in different parts, Dennis, but what would your advice be to people heading up boxing clubs about why this is a good thing and why they should embrace it?
I think, one, if you've got females in your gym, you know, you really need to have female coaches as well. So, you know, that's a given, really. But I just think it adds benefit. It really does. It's different at first. It were different for this club when girls started to want to box. You know, we had to look at that and think, wow, that, this is going back 10 years maybe or more. And it's strange because it is a male, or it was, a male environment. But we've certainly benefited from it. You know, the club's benefited and Kelly, like she just said there, she's benefiting as well. So, yeah, embrace it.
Fantastic. Thank you both very much for your time. Really appreciate that. And in 12 months' time, who knows where you'll be if you think about what you've achieved in that. And Dennis, thank you for your time. The club's doing lots of great things in the community, and long may that continue. I'm sure it will. So thank you both.
Find the show notes for all episodes at yorkshiresport.org/podcast.
So we mentioned that it's going national. Mm-hmm. What does that mean more specifically? Will it follow the exact same sort of template as this? And where are there certain areas that you're focusing on in particular around the country or elsewhere in Yorkshire perhaps?
Yeah, so we have 9 regional offices nationwide that cover other regions across the country. So they've all had a pot of money to deliver essentially just this exact model, but in their region. So a female-only coaching course. But they've adapted it in certain ways. So some of them are charging the coaches a small amount and then also paying for their safeguarding and first aid and stuff like that. So they've changed it slightly, but it is based on this model, just to get more female coaches into clubs and then more female participants. So, yeah, they've sort of gone to their active partnerships with this template. And then, yeah, using a little bit of Sport England money that we had for the project as well.
Spoken very positively about all the great things that have happened, and it sounds like a smooth ride. You go, you identify your clubs, you see there's a gap in women and girls provision, put female only coaching course on, away you go. Now it's a national program. Were there any bumps in the road or things you had to overcome, sort of more challenging elements along the last 12 months or so, or even before you got started, that you could perhaps, I'm sure you'll be advising your other sort of regional club support officers, things to be aware of or potential sort of trip-ups? What were they from both your perspectives, I guess?
I think the valuable bit is making sure that head coach is on board, because, you know, once you go back into your club, it is really difficult to set something up. Mm-hmm. And we see that across all programmes and all courses, that, you know, people come away and they're really inspired and they want to do something, but the actual doing bit is really hard. So, you know, there might be a little bit of learning there around that additional support to help them set up. And, you know, initially we did talk about marketing support and like a bit of a social media campaign and things. And the majority of the clubs didn't need it because, you know, the minute they said they could do a women-only session, they were, you know, they had people there. But I think it's something to be mindful of that, you know, you do need somebody supporting you afterwards to set up a session. Mm-hmm. I think the WhatsApp group probably took a lot of that away from myself and Ashley, because they kind of supported each other, mm-hmm. which is great.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the biggest thing, that if that head coach isn't on board to support, and mentor as well, you know, yeah. you've just done your level one, you've done 4 days, you might never have really boxed. That's the start of your learning journey, mm-hmm. you know, and it's kind of being supported to develop your skills as a coach.
Yeah, that is a really key point, because obviously we get all of these coaches together to do the course. That saves us sort of working with each club individually. But then when they go back out, they do need that level of support again. And yeah, if the head coach, I guess, has never dealt with that, it does take a different kind of support to support a female volunteer who's just running a recreational boxing session in your club. If all they've ever dealt with is elite coaches, there is sometimes a little bit of a gap in just how to approach supporting a different kind of volunteer.
And what would your... So say, for example, you come across a head coach at a club, and I don't know how replicable this can be across different sports steps from a general club support perspective, but you do come across that head coach who perhaps isn't as keen or as buys into it straight away. How do you go about getting them to buy, and what would you say to...
I think with the female participation thing, it's just the stats. You know, you only have to look at their own club database, and, you know, in theory, in your whole potential audience, you're hitting 50%, give or take. You know, so the opportunities are there. We know women are asking for this. There's research out to show that. And it comes down to kind of that sustainable club. You know, there's an opportunity here, depending what community you're in and how you want to deliver that session, for it to be a bit of a financial resource and a revenue stream coming into your club as well. People will pay up to £10 in some areas to do a gym class. That's quite an exciting market, really, if you can offer something similar for that kind of recreational class. So, you know, it's, I think, working with some of the boxing clubs as well, it's just making them think a little bit more, which kind of comes back to the first point of why we kind of had the conversations in the first place about being sustainable clubs, around kind of that opportunity that it brings, really. Yeah.
And I think definitely for boxing clubs, I'm not sure about other sports, but just the way that they recruit and support volunteers probably needs to be looked at anyway, because obviously it needs to be possibly a lot more flexible than what they'd expect. The volunteers need to feel like they're not needed all the time, and if they don't turn up, then no one is. There's a lot of pressure on volunteers in sports clubs. So yeah, I think if we can help clubs approach it in a different way, then it could help them all round, not just with their female coaches. But
so it's going national, excellent. But Yorkshire is 12 months ahead. Yep. So they got these women, as an example, go on the course, and earlier down the line, they've got that support from yourself if they need it, but the WhatsApp group and each other. But what's next for that group? And I guess what's next locally within South Yorkshire, West Yorkshire, and Yorkshire as a whole to sort of build on this initial success?
Yeah, so for that group in particular, we're sort of trying to stay in touch and keep up with their coaching journey. Like I've said, there's five or six of them that are interested in doing their level two now. So I'll definitely support with how we can make that happen for them, because they're obviously looking to progress to a more elite level of coaching. There's also, again, on the WhatsApp group, there's been talk among the group that they want to do some other sort of workshops and training. So we do like a boxing mind mental health workshop. They're really interested in getting on board with that, because I think within their clubs, a few of them are safeguarding and welfare officers, and they've possibly taken on that role of sort of a mentor within the club, which is obviously really great for those clubs. And so, yeah, they're always asking about new opportunities to develop. So they're still sort of getting involved with everything, which is good.
And we are looking to bring them all together, aren't we, for a bit of a kind of masterclass workshop where mm-hmm. they can have a face-to-face conversation with each other, because whether they've seen each other face-to-face over the last year, mm-hmm. I'm not sure. But kind of, you know, hopefully bring Amanda back in and do like a bit more of a workshop around different ideas, but give them the opportunity to share some of the coaching methods and things that they use as well.
Yeah.
But that's going to be a really good opportunity for us to kind of have a chat with them and find out kind of what they've mm-hmm. enjoyed, what they do differently, what their kind of future aspirations are. And then we're looking to do another female-only course, aren't we? Yeah. Kind of hopefully in Kirklees, I think, this time, mm-hmm. just as a venue.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll be going back out to clubs and running that again in the next few months.
Debs and Ashley, Thank you very much for your time. Best of luck with the project. We'll be watching with a keen eye from Yorkshire to see how it goes nationally and what happens next here.
You've been listening to the YSF podcast from Yorkshire Sport Foundation. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at Yorkshire Sport, or email us media@yorkshiresport.org.